Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today it is just me. I was supposed to have two of my good friends, Case Rosso and Casey Aurora, come, but we have got a blizzard today. It's right now Wednesday, March 7th. This, I guess, will be coming out tonight anyway, slash tomorrow is when I post. But yeah, so they couldn't make it because driving conditions are pretty not great right now. So it's just me, but I'm kind of happy. I'm sad to miss them, but I'm sure they'll be back either next week or the week after. But I haven't done one just me in a while, so I feel like we were clearly due for one, weren't we? And I have a lot to fill you guys in on, and I think it's always, I'm always able to do that when I have guests, but clearly it's a whole different energy when it's just me, so I can get pretty deep into some of my own personal stuff. I will start with, about a week and a half ago, I got into a pretty crazy serious car accident. I was on my way to my album release show party at New York Comedy Club. It was February 25th at 7. I had booked a ton of amazing variety acts, from dancers to stand-up comedy to musical performances, and they all blew me away. It was amazing. Hopefully I'll get to do another variety show again soon, because it was just such a fun thing to host and be a part of. So I'm on my way. I'm wearing this like tight white cotton dress that I bought months and months before. I was so excited to wear it. And I didn't even have leggings on or anything because it was so cold and the dress was so tight, you couldn't really do that. So I'm in this outfit, and I'm like, oh, I won't be outside anyway. I'm just going to go right from my car to the show, so it doesn't matter. And my mom was with me. She had curlers in her hair. She was so cute. She was ready to go and watch the whole show. And then as I'm about to enter the Holland Tunnel, this other driver, I believe, made an illegal left turn or ran a red. We're still not sure exactly what happened, but it was pretty nuts. And we ended up getting into an accident, all the airbags deployed. Thank God no one was seriously, seriously injured. My mom was injured. She had to go to the emergency room in an ambulance. And I don't think I can talk about it too much, but she definitely was the one out of everyone that needed medical attention. And I ended up making my way. First of all, I had to stand outside for half an hour in this ridiculous white dress. So that was an interesting thing. I was like, oh my God, everyone probably thinks they just picked up a hooker off the side of the road. No, they could see the two cars were pretty banged up. My car totally totaled. I had to get a new used car. But anyway, so I still was like, I have to make my show. I don't want to miss it because it's my show. Like, so the police came, they did the report, all of that. And then I made my way through the Holland into the city and took a taxi to New York Comedy Club, did a whole show right after my accident. It was pretty surreal. I was, yeah, definitely in a whole other state of like, what the hell's happening? And still kind of shaking for sure. I think the adrenaline was rushing through my body. Yeah, the night was pretty crazy. The show was amazing. But once it ended, I had to take an Uber to a hospital in Jersey City to get my mom, and then an Uber back to my place. And yeah, so it was a pretty intense night. And the accident, I've been in now three car accidents in my life, and actually none of them were my fault, although insurance, I don't know, I won't get into it. But the first time I was driving with Shane in the car, and my tire blew out of nowhere, and I was spinning across, I guess, three, four lanes of traffic. Terrifying. But after that is when I started seeing this crazy purple energy following me. And then a lot of shifts started happening. So I would say that one was about 5 years ago, and it woke me up big time. Because I think near-death experiences often do that for us, where we get a new zest for life. The second one is when I was driving once again to visit my brother with Shane in the car. The once again is to the Shane being in the car, and a micro blizzard came out of nowhere, and the woman in front of me was speeding and her and a truck ended up colliding and she was spinning and I hit my brakes, but my car didn't slow down enough because of the snow. So it ended up being like an 18 car pileup, actually. It was so dangerous out there. But that was my second one, which changed my life in many ways. And now this one, and I can just tell you that whether it's a car accident or anything that's pretty jarring that happens, I do believe these circumstances can be used to wake up to even more of reality and your truest nature. And I have really felt in the last week and a half just an ability to be way more present in life. I feel like I have a lot more energy. I'm in touch with a lot more of my life force. My healer slash therapist, Eileen, also said that. So I can't take full credit for the word life force with this. But yeah, I have. I felt way more in touch with my life force. I feel like it busted through a couple or more than a couple of my defense mechanisms, which is exciting because I often feel very exhausted in general. And that's been going on for years and years. And I've been feeling less exhausted since the accident. And I can't wait not to get into more car accidents, but to keep unwinding these knots and splits that happened since I was a young girl, that I had to disconnect from places in myself to survive trauma. And it's been great as I heal certain things to feel more in touch with that life force. So the accident was pretty scary, but I have to say that at least for me, I've been feeling an ability to be more present and alert. Unfortunately, my mom is still suffering from it, so that really sucks. And I hope that she starts feeling better soon. And I love her. She obviously missed the show, which she's still upset about. But I think it's pretty beautiful that my mom was even, she drove from Philly to be with me and to come with me. And I think it's beautiful that she wanted to go be a part of it and watch me rap Labia Game live, which she missed. But, you know, she's a sport, because not every mom would be so supportive of a daughter who just released a pretty sexually aggressive video in many ways. And it's obviously under the comedy umbrella, but, and I said this on the last podcast, most people, I've been getting from most people very positive reactions. There have been a couple people who seem to be a bit triggered by it, and that's okay too. You know, it's meant, and this is the thing about art, because once again, yes, I'm a comedian. Yes, I'm a healer. Yes, I just released a rap video. But before all of this, I've been an artist, a painter, a drawer, a sculptor for years. And art is meant to elicit emotional responses. It's okay if you don't like an art piece. I personally wouldn't just go directly up to the artist and be like, I don't like it. Like, that's my personality, just because, you know, there's a way to give feedback that feels positive and uplifting, and a way to give feedback that hurts. I was an art teacher for years, and I tried to teach all of my students that if you're, because we would have art critiques where at the end of a project, we would walk around, look at everyone's art, and then give feedback. And I always gave, every time I would talk to the students and say, and let them know the difference between constructive criticism and just hurtful comments. And I even had a poster that highlighted what it meant to give constructive feedback. And I think as adults, we still really need to learn that lesson, that art is art. You don't want to inhibit what's allowed to be put out there. And yet, we are allowed to have the responses we want. But if you be very careful about how you speak your truth, because if you come at someone aggressively, you're probably going to get aggression back. And it's not just with art, actually. It's with so many things. Republicans versus Democrats, even though versus is ridiculous because it's two sides to one coin. But we often get into a dualistic mindset as if it's, you know, we'd like to pit one side against the other, which gets us nowhere. But no matter what the issue is, whether it's guns, race issues, gender issues, Israel versus Palestine, it's really important because we need to open up these dialogues. But be cautious and conscious of how you are expressing yourself, because if you approach someone aggressively, you're probably going to get aggression back. Probably. The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, there have been some comments on YouTube, not necessarily with my video, although I've gotten this comment before related to other things, is people thinking that if you're a comedian, you're not allowed to be sensitive. I don't know who the fuck started that rumor or belief. I'm sure it's been around for years, but that is not true. Comedians are artists, and artists are sensitive by nature. You are allowed to be a sensitive comedian, just for the record. So I wanted to put that out there because, yeah, I've seen some comments where of people saying if you're sensitive, you shouldn't be a comedian. And that's bullshit, because it's your sensitivity that allows you to be so in tune and so in touch. The cool thing about many comedians is they're very, very sensitive, but then also are able to go very, very dark, which is a neat thing, depending on how you use your gifts and your abilities. So, but I definitely wanted to say that you can be sensitive and a comedian. So let's see. Oh, and I had to, so since I got a new used car, I spent some time at the DMV, or the Motor Vehicle Commission, recently. And man, what a fucking mess. Like, first of all, I got my new car. It's not new. My new used car inspected. That was actually really quick. It was in and out. Mad props to the inspection place in New Jersey that I went to, because, yeah, it was very efficient. I appreciated that. But man, to register my car, and I also had to renew my license coincidentally. I mean, very few workers in comparison to the amount of people that need to be serviced. And what a broken system. Like, we need to get on that. I'm not saying I alone, Kate Wolf, can fix that, but together we need to start voicing this, because I was like enraged, not even necessarily for myself, but like just all the people that have places to be, kids to pick up from school, work to go back to. It was unreal. And look, everyone's paying too. You have to pay to register your vehicle. You have to pay to renew your license or get your first time license. Like, we are paying for a service. There should be ample workers there to service the people waiting and paying for it. And it's kind of abusive, because you can't leave. Like, you need this in order to drive, which I know is a privilege, but many people need to drive to get their kids and get to and from work. You know, it's like, oh, they almost take advantage of the fact that you need it, so they don't, you know, hustle and make the place more efficient. Because if you went to somewhere like Target and had to wait an hour to check out, Target would go out of business, because people would be like, fuck this, I'll go somewhere else. So I wish there were almost even other options or something, because it just seemed ridiculous to have to wait an hour to, you know, half an hour wait, understandable, even 40 minutes, fine. But same with doctor's offices. Like, I don't know, whatever. Obviously, there are many, many systems that are hopefully crumbling as gracefully as possible, so they can be rebuilt and according to the new paradigm that many light workers, I'm sure many of you are listening, are helping to bring in. So keep shining your light and helping to rebuild a better, more efficient and cooperative society where we help each other thrive instead of take each other down. Let's see. I've taken notes, so I know what to talk about. Well, since the accident, I've really been trying to surrender on a deeper level to the present moment and not trying to control where it's all heading. And it's been in a way where I haven't even been able to. Like, I had to surrender. I was like, I don't know what each day is bringing. And it was a really beautiful surrender to be like, I don't know what's happening. And I still don't. Like, career wise, I know it's headed in a good trajectory. I'm very excited about some things that are coming in. But I also have surrendered. Like, I don't know which one's going to pan out. I'm just excited to move forward and see what unfolds, because I know that the universe supports us and that things are shifting. So I'm trying to just really accept who I am, even if I feel like I'm supposed to be further along, whatever that means. I'm like, no, I'm great as is. Even if I'm bitchy sometimes, jealous sometimes, angry, sad, whatever it is, I've just been like, okay, so that's a part of me. It's a part of all of us. We are imperfect beings, and it's our shame bodies and our inability to accept these ugly parts that kind of keep us frozen. So I've been, yeah, I think in a slightly different place of just being like, I know it seems crazy because I've always kind of accepted who I am, but also not really. So I'm getting to a deeper place of acceptance, which is pretty dope. Oh, and then I had an amazing rental car for a week, which changed my life. I know that sounds funny, but like, so I went to Enterprise. I had made the reservation on Orbitz. By the way, they told me, I made the reservation on Orbitz because they give you a good deal, but I also got the extra $10 a day insurance on Orbitz, which Enterprise said I should not do in the future. I should get it through them, which I think is important to know. So, but anyway, I went there and they upgraded me for free because the car that I had rented wasn't available there. So they're like, okay, we're going to give you a nicer car. And I was like, yeah, great. So I got to drive for a week. And this might not sound very fancy to some of you listening, but to me, it was a life of luxury. They put me in a pretty much brand new Chevy Equinox. It was all black with like tinted windows. And I've like never driven something bigger than a typical car. So man, I was like living life. Like I felt like a baller. I was like, so Shane and I were in love with this car. He was like, Mom, I don't want to give this back. I was like, me neither. Like we had a moment when I had to give this car back. I like had my hand on it. Like I was like ceremoniously honoring it and saying goodbye to it. Like I got real attached to this car in a week. I'm not even lying. Like I hope in the future I can buy either that car or something like it. Cause I mean, heated seats. This is a whole new world, people. Like my butt was warm. It was so cool. Although I went to the city last Thursday, I met up with two different friends separately. And when I went to leave, it was raining hard and I couldn't figure out how to use the windshield wipers. And I know that's I was trying everything. It turns out you have to flip it up, which is new to me. I never knew you could even flip that freaking thing up. But like I had to drive home holding down the freaking windshield wiper stick thing the whole time just to get it to move. So that was a bummer. But that was also, I guess, kind of my fault. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. But yeah, I just love this car. And I had an issue almost giving it back because a part of me was like, I'm ready for like nice things. And it doesn't make me selfish or extravagant to want nice things. And I have a real interesting, complicated relationship with money because my mom's always been okay with having a life of luxury, although she's never gotten to live that necessarily. But she's always really been fond of like nice things. And whereas like, my dad has a lot of nice things. He does. Like, don't get me wrong. But like, I think that side of the family, we really honor and appreciate like logic and being frugal. And it is that we are Jews. So there's an easy joke there about being cheap and Jewish. But like, I don't even know if it's like a real stereotype or not. But it's really hard for me to feel like I deserve nice things because there's a part of me that then like there are these beliefs and voices that then goes, oh, you're selfish, you're not being logical, just get a car that takes you from place to place, you don't need any bells and whistles. So having this nice rental brought up so much for me of feeling like I do deserve a nice car one day. And look, I got a nice used car. I'll just say what it is. It's a Honda Civic. It's very typical. I love it. But like, I have some plans for it. I'll say that. I'm not going to give much more, but I have some plans for it in the future when I have a little more money. I have some plans for the car. We'll just say that. It's going to be fun. But yeah, I've accepted this week my love for cars, which I didn't, once again, so the healing school I'm in, at least my experience, is that it's been unleashing parts of myself that I had disconnected from a long, long time ago. And I totally did not realize how much I love cars. And I think a lot of us girls disconnect from things that we feel are boyish. And I used to be a bit of a tomboy when I was younger. And that kind of got taken from me for various reasons, where I also got stereotyped as a girly girl, which I have very girly elements, but I'm also very tomboyish and have been. I've always loved the woods. From a young age, my dad would take my brother and I hiking and we'd be like in creeks building little dams. And like, I just really loved getting dirty from a young age. And I guess I also really loved cars and trucks, and something shifted at a certain age, definitely a wound where it wasn't safe to be in touch with that part of myself, but it's coming back in. And man, I'm really enjoying starting to learn about different types of cars and the way they drive. And yeah, so the rental car and having that really brought in a lot of interesting things for me. And I hope one day I get to have something like a Chevy Equinox or whatever, because I loved driving it. And look, I'm not like, you know, a typical SUV person, although I don't even think it's a typical SUV. I think it's like a SUV hybrid or mini SUV or something. But I don't know. It was so cool. Oh, and then when I went into the city with it, there was a gap between my first friend I hung out with and my second. And I got, like, because the windows were tinted and it's a big space, like, I just laid in the back for like 40 minutes, like, chilling. Actually, my first friend, we hung out in the car, her and I, for like an hour talking about twin flame couples, which I'm definitely going to get into. I'll get into that in a second, because, you know, I love twin flames. I'm going to get more into exactly what that means. And I have heard, I came up with a list. It's my friend Ankara Martinez Savone. So we came up with a list of who we think twin flames are. Some I already had written down and some we came up together, but it's so fun to do this. And oh yeah, I want to talk about conformity. I really, when I was in line for like an hour at the Motor Vehicle Commission, I really noticed how so many of us, even when it comes to the way we dress, we are scared to stand out. Even with our color houses, our color of cars, like, we really have a fear, and it's a rightful fear. It's like, if I stand out, if I say who I really am, if I act on who I really am, I'm going to get punished. And I just really noticed in that environment how many of us, you know, we're in this line, we don't want to speak too loud, we really want to fit in. And what's going to be cool as we kind of shake up this paradigm is bringing more color in. And I mean that metaphorically and literally. Like, I can't wait to see people's outfits kind of shifting and us being able to wear funkier outfits and dye your hair if you want to dye your hair. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners do things like that already, but I mean, you know, seeing it everywhere and in various age groups, because I want to see us all feel free to express our real colors and who we are. So that's what's kind of shifting and breaking. And that for me, because there have been some people who asked me, like, what's your intent behind Labia Game? And they meant it. And I want people to know that for me, Labia Game is about breaking this thing of conformity of what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a human. It's about having fun, creating art, being silly, being a sexual being, not having to be perfect. A comic I really respect said I need to work on my flow and even possibly get a rap coach. And I'm not against that idea. I need to say, I'm pretty happy with my flow as of now, considering I've only been rapping a year. But I know it's going to get better. Trust me, I know I'm a work in progress in many ways. And I would love a rap coach. Right now, I can't afford that. But I would love for that to eventually come in, because there's so many rappers who I look up to and respect, and I know I have a lot to learn. So, and not just with rap, but with music in general, because I would love to create all different types of music. We are works in progress, and I think that's important with this nonconformity thing, is like, it's okay to not be perfect. One time I went to a teacher conference with Shane's teacher, and I had a pizza crust stuck in my hair the whole time. I mean, it was really embarrassing leaving that. But at the same time, I was like, fucking, sometimes that happens. Sometimes you get food stuck in your hair. Okay. Like, it's all good. Sometimes you have a boogie hanging out of your nose. Sometimes you spit when you're talking. Sometimes you're picking your nose in the car and someone sees you. Who gives a fuck? Okay. We are humans. We are animals, and we're enlightened beings. Get over yourselves. Like, we are imperfect beings. And like I was saying, Labia Game is just like, be who you are. Like, some people can look at that and be offended. And it's like, dude, we're sexual beings. And this is coming from someone who has consciously made the decision to not have sex until it feels safe and wild and right. Because, and I know this from a lot of friends I've talked to, a lot of my friends who are still having casual sexual encounters, which is fine. If you want to do that, girl, dudes, by all means, go get yours. But I'm letting you know, and it's becoming more and more clear, that the after effects of that is oftentimes not worth it. I personally started feeling gutted out after doing that or like depleted. And for some people, it's still very much worth it. And some people might say that they don't feel that at all. And once again, good for you. But for me, labia game isn't like, yeah, like go out and suck everyone's dick or like fuck everyone. It's about claiming your sexuality for you, your right to be a sexual being, your right to be who you are, your right to be silly, and your right to say, I don't give a fuck if you accept me for who I am or not. I'm going to be who I am regardless. And that is what freedom is. It's the right to be who you are and to break free out of these belief systems, these chains that have been collectively imposed upon all of us. And now we're coming together, hearing each other out, and hopefully breaking free of this stuff together. Of all races, of all gender, of all, you know, every political party member, like we have to do this together. All right, let's get into some of these twin flames that I've written down. And also by the end of this one, I also want to pull some angel cards for you guys. I always like doing that, especially when it's just me. I think it's really fun. Okay. So, twin flames, I've talked about this a lot, but I believe it's your ultimate mirror here in the earth realm. It's a very similar flame that is, it's very hard to actually be in a relationship with your twin flame because they will bring up all of the places within yourself that you don't necessarily want to accept or look at, okay? So, and everyone technically that you meet here is your soulmate. Everyone's your mirror, but the twin flame is like, it's like the most divine mirror, if that makes sense. Like it can be very, very hard. So most people, there are a decent amount of people who are currently with their twin flame. But yeah, okay. So I want to read to you. And once again, I didn't make this list completely by myself. When Ankara was with me in the car, we added a lot together. But I'm going to go over. Okay, so here's like a basic. And here's the other thing. I'm feeling into these. It does not mean I am right about all of these matches. I think I'm pretty fucking good at feeling into twin flame matches through my intuition. I think I'm stellar, but it doesn't mean I'm right about every single one, just for the record. And ultimately, these people have to come to this conclusion on their own about who their twin flame is. Okay, so an obvious. Beyonce and Jay-Z, I believe they are twin flames, okay? Okay, let me go into some of my favorites. Sorry, I'm like coughing. I'm still dealing with a cough. Oh, by the way, I've pretty much stopped smoking weed. Because I was getting strep throat, I think, from it. It was like fucking up something with my throat. And I try to listen to my body when something like that happens. I'm like, all right, I'm going to listen. Okay. My favorite twin flame couple that has never been tied to each other, as far as we know, romantically, is Leonardo DiCaprio, one of my favorite actors of all time. And drum roll, please, Kate Winslet. Now, I know she's currently married with kids to like a famous director who actually directed an amazing movie her and Leo did together, Revolutionary Road, which I actually just watched a couple days ago. Wow, powerful. Like, holy shit. But by the way, I might have to like take a break and like literally pause the podcast and then come right back because my throat's starting to hurt. But I believe that they're twin flames for real. I've been watching like a cornball. You need to YouTube Sweetest Things Said to Each Other between like Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet. Like, wow. I really think they're twin flames. I think that they are in love with each other, whether or not they've allowed themselves to admit that to themselves, because once again, it's going to reflect back a lot of your insecurities. So a lot of people would rather go into another kind of soulmate romantic relationship than actually enter the twin flame dynamic because it can be too intense. But I really, really think that they're twin flames. And man, if Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio actually got together, I think I would freaking pass out. Like, I would be so happy. Can you freaking imagine that? Like, so I'm totally obsessed with them. You need to check out some of these YouTube videos of them talking about each other. It's unreal. Like, the sweetest thing. Okay, I think I've said this one before, but I really feel that Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears are twin flames. They obviously have a sordid history together, and it would take a lot for them to get back together. And obviously, Justin is married to Jessica Biel, and they have a kid together. So that's also, you know, that's why it's like, that, you know, people can disagree with me and think that other people are twin flames. But I do feel that Justin and Britney, they're the king and queen of pop, man. Or I should say the queen and king. But yeah, I think that they're twin flames. I believe that Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt are twin flames. Kourtney Kardashian and Scott Disick, I think they are twin flames. I would love to hear, you guys can comment on my SoundCloud if you have any other twin flame couples that you feel, whether or not I agree, or if, you know, you can give me your opinions. Okay, this is another one. I think Rose McGowan and Marilyn Manson are twin flames. This is an out there one. I'm not 100% sure of this one, but I have a feeling. I think Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock may be twin flames. Johnny Depp and Winona Ryder. Fuck yeah. Edward Scissorhands. I mean, what a couple. Give me a break. Love them together. They're both kind of like the king and queen of like emo Tim Burton realm, you know? And I think Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter. I believe that they are as well. Ankara came up with this one, but I completely agreed. Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise. I believe that they are twin flames. Remember that movie, Eyes Wide Shut? Like, wow. I actually should rewatch that. It was pretty fucking hot. I haven't seen it in a long time, but maybe that's what I'll do today on this snow day. I think Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are twin flames. I don't think her new beau is her twin flame. I think that's a soulmate relationship. Because Gwen Stefani, No Doubt, man. I've loved No Doubt forever. I used to have a poster of Gwen growing up in my room. Like, I have just loved her forever. And she's got like that grimy alt thing. That's how she started. Now she's very pop, which I believe is a part of her soul song as well. But Gwen is like, I've loved her forever. And she's funky. She's different. And Gavin had that alt thing too. Now, clearly they had a breakup. He was mistreating her. She has to stand in her power. She's a queen. She deserves to be treated like such. But I do think, yeah, that they're twin flames. Jared Leto and Claire Danes. Yeah. Oh, I love I'm reading my own and getting surprised. Nick Carter and Paris Hilton, I think. Madonna and Sean Penn. Someone else gave me that one. I don't think it was Ankara, but someone else said that. I was like, yes. Jada and Will Smith, give me a break. Twin flames. Fuck yeah. I believe Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are twin flames. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, I believe they are. Oh my God. Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams. Their chemistry together is like undeniable. It's that flame. You got to feel into it. What couples, when they're together, just go whoop? And people can try to fake it. I hate calling people out, even though I don't know them, but there are some couples that are married and it's very obvious that they love each other, but it's not that fucking fiery, brings you to your knees kind of love. And you can try to fake it, but then it looks like in their eyes that they want to like jump out of their body and escape. You can kind of tell when someone's not. You can even be with your twin flame though and enter in that energy system if you are swallowing a lot of pain and not speaking your truth with them. But Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, like, their chemistry in The Notebook was just like, oh my God, one of my favorite romance movies of all times. Same with Titanic. I don't like that he dies in the cold water at the end. Sorry if I spoiled Titanic for you, but if you haven't seen Titanic yet, like, that's your bad. And I just feel like he totally could have fit on that raft, or there should have been like some other debris floating. Like, I feel like we gave up on Leo way too quick, but Leah's gonna make a comeback in real life and they're gonna somehow get married or something. Like, no offense to her current husband, but you can't stop twin flame love. They're meant to be. Come on, Kate Winslet and Leo. This is a big thing too, is like a lot of twin flames, because if they want to deny it, they say something like, oh, we're just like brother and sisters. No, you ain't like brother and sister. You don't make out even on a movie set with someone you feel is your brother. Like, I have a brother. I would never make out with him on a movie set. That's how you know that they're not like brother and sister, for the record. Okay. Let's see. Katy Perry and Russell Brand. I think that they are twin flames, even though they got divorced. Oh, this is an interesting one. Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. I think they could be. Their chemistry in Silver Linings Playbook. Wow. Like fucking stellar. Ugh, gives me chills. Oh, this was one that Ankara said. I don't know this couple well enough, but it kind of feels right in my body. Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth. It's a fucking hot couple. Oh, and obviously one of my favorites, Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson. Give me a fucking break. Like, come on. You guys are twin flames. I'm waiting for you guys to get back together. Obviously a huge fan of both, but Kristen Stewart, I love you so much. Like, just so you know, no matter what you do with your hair, all of it, I love you in every way. Like, you are to me Bella forever, okay? Need you to know. Oh, okay. This is so obviously I also like the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. Like, for real, read the books and seen the movies. Everyone can call them corny, cheesy. No. It's tapping into real fucking crazy ass romance, and the patriarchy we're steeped in doesn't like to claim those kinds of movies. Whatevs, Trevs. So let's see. Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan. Yo, their chemistry on film, like, you can't fake chemistry. That's the thing I'm trying to say. Like, you can try to convince us through social media that you're happy. Like, you can feel it in your bones. Stop it. Their chemistry is like fucking hot. Like, ugh. And even when you see the rare interview of them together, it's like, wow. Sorry, I know he's married with a kid too, but like, you got to be with the people that lights your fire. And they can disagree with me. They can say, oh no, this person does light my fire. Then go do your thing, chicken wing, but whatever. Oh, I think Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey are twin flames. I loved that. Newlyweds. They were like, that was like one of the first reality shows where a celebrity couple led us into their life. And I loved them together. They cracked me up. And yeah. But once again, a lot of twin flames don't want to reunite or get together in the first place. I think Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, they're like the king and queen of the CW. You know what I mean, though? Like, they just both had those amazing movies, like the teen movies. Like, they were just, yeah, I really like them together. I don't even know if they're still together. Oh, I think Fergie and Josh Duhamel are. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, obviously, twin flames. Give me a fucking break. They're killing it as twin flames. I think Trump and Melania. I think that they are, actually. I think Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner are. I believe that they are, but I'm not. I think they are. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Lil' Kim and Biggie. Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. I mean, come on. They were vials of each other's blood. Like, it doesn't get more wild than that. So they were pretty great. I think Ellen DeGeneres and Portia, Oprah and Stedman, and that's where my list ends for now. But feel free on SoundCloud if you want to add some more couples you think. I might disagree with you, but who gives a fuck, right? Ultimately, it's up to these people. But for me, obviously, the concept of twin flames is something I'm fascinated with, because who doesn't love romance? I mean, listen to the Beatles, if you guys have forgotten. Like, love ignites our fire. It wakes you up. It's that song. I don't want to sing it, but it's like, there were birds. I'm going to totally mess up the lyrics. All around, but I never heard them singing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. So there you go. And you guys are lucky that I just sang, because that was terrifying for me. And please don't be like, you suck. Like, I'm not claiming to be a professional singer as of yet. Okay. But yeah, that's the point. That's the energy, is like, true love, you wake up, you hear the birds chirping. It's just so deeply alchemizing and transformative and just beautiful. So that's why I love romance. Who doesn't? I think men and women alike like it, but we get hurt by it traumatically often, whether it's our parents, which isn't romantic love, although according to Freud, there's quite a little bit of an element of that. But then, you know, our first heartbreaks really strike us into the core and into our insecurities. So we often then navigate the rest of our lives trying to avoid having those feelings of rejection or insecurity or pain again. So then we'd prefer this other kind of safer love to that. But I just love romance, and I love seeing couples that, yeah, they just, it's like, look, Justin and Brittany, and I'm kind of quoting on Cara here, but I completely agree. Like, they wore matching denim outfits to the VMAs. Like, you are twin flames. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm a fan of Jessica Biel too, but it doesn't feel to me in my body that they are twin flames. And I'm sorry about that. Like, I'm just stating my truth here. And the truth is you don't want to be with someone if they're not actually your twin flame. It's going to be detrimental to you too. So, like, yeah, everyone needs to figure their shit out. Okay. So now I want to, this is probably going to be a little bit of a shorter one, maybe, because my throat is hurting. Okay, so right now I'm going to pull a card for all of you from the Art of the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck. I bought it at Barnes & Noble. I don't know if it's always available there, but you can always order it online if you would like it. It's a very high vibrational deck. I love it. It helps me constantly. So I'm going to pull everyone a card from here. Aw, how cute. It's you are cherished and protected. And it's called Earth Rapture. Very interesting. So as these old systems get uprooted, a lot of us are going to be feeling the tumultuous energies. And it's going to be bringing up a lot of fear in our old belief systems that we might almost accidentally cling to and think that they're the truth. I'm not deserving. I'm not good enough. This is too good to be true. Include those thoughts and those fears, but also realize that you are being held by the universe through all of these changes. We are evolving as a collective, which is a, in my eyes, good, positive thing. But it's bringing up a lot of fear. A lot of people aren't sure what's going on. They think they're tapping into a deeper power or truth, but they don't know if they're making that up or they just want to say that to themselves to feel better. This card is recognition that it's real and you are being held through these changes. And in this card, it's this beautiful angelic-like woman. She has angel wings that are purpley pink, one of my favorite color combos. She has this sacred geometry symbol. It's a Merkaba, which is one of my favorite symbols. You can look up Merkaba into Google, Merkabah. And a Merkaba is a very, very ancient, powerful symbol known throughout the universe. And something I've read about Merkaba is that it's actually a vehicle that one can use to transport out of your body in a consciousness kind of way, a travel. So like often in a dream state, they say your soul could kind of enter this Merkaba-like symbol and you can do some outer body experiences into astral realms, etc., through this symbol. I'm not sure if I've ever consciously entered. I've definitely wrapped myself up in a Merkaba. So at night, if I'm getting scared and I'm feeling spiritual presence near me, I sometimes actively and consciously will say, whether out loud or to myself, I am wrapping myself in a light filled Merkaba, as a way of protection. I know I'm sounding a bit out there for some people, and some of you, according to your feedback, like it when I get out there. But look up this Merkaba symbol. You can look up more. You'll get a lot more information if you Google it, but it's very much present here. And for those of you who are having a rougher time, you can actually consciously encase yourself in this symbol, and it will do energetically will do something for you. Also look up for fun, Arcturian sacred geometry. The Arcturians, I've talked a little bit about them. They are an alien collective that I very much love. So it's ARC, Arc, and then Turian, Turian. You can check them out, Arcturian sacred geometry. And yeah, I think you'll be intrigued whether you're a believer of these kinds of things or not. Even if you want to make fun of me, just check it out. Stare at the sacred geometry a little bit. See how you're influenced. Because once again, these are ancient symbols that, whether it's from aliens or just really enlightened beings that have walked the earth for thousands of years. Like, a lot of these people have been very much in tune to these symbols. Like, you can find a lot of these symbols carved into temples throughout the globe and in different continents from thousands of years ago, including temples in Asia and pyramids in Egypt, all over the place. So check those things out. But what a beautiful card. And remember that you have wings. For real. You know, your wings have taken you very far. You've come a lot further than we often give ourselves credit for. So give yourselves a pat on the back and remember, you can do this, and this is all shifting and unfolding at a very rapid pace. So as best you can, surrender and enjoy the ride, because as long as you can vibrationally feel like you deserve good things, I believe good things are coming. At least that's what gets me through. Okay, so that was from the Art Through the Eyes of the Soul Oracle deck. And now I'm going to pick from another deck that I use a lot that I've picked for the listeners, you guys listening. It's Archangel Michael. It's a deck by Doreen Virtue. I love Doreen Virtue's decks. If you haven't heard of her, you need to check out her website. She often has amazing sales. And Archangel Michael is one of my favorite deities to work with, but she has like fairy decks, mermaid decks, obviously tons of angel decks. There's so many, and just feel what pulls to you and calls to you and order one. I find them very, very helpful and beautiful reminders if whenever I need to pull a card. Okay, so let me pull. Okay. Aw. I like this one too. It's your inner guidance is real and trustworthy. And I'm going to read the prayer that comes along with it. Please help me clearly hear, see, feel, and know the divine guidance that I have asked and prayed for. Allow me to keep my ego out of the way, or include it, as my teacher / founder of A Society of Souls would say, include it. So allow me to keep my ego out of the way so your wisdom can come streaming through me for my own benefit and for those around me. How beautiful. It's kind of what I was saying with the last card about these fearful belief systems that are very much tied to survival and our ego. It's not about getting rid of these things. It's about consciousness and compassion, watching them and bringing them in. You don't have to love these places. It's about giving them a place to locate. Once again, this is very much the work of my school. I'm not making this up from myself. Really starting to trust your intuition, even and really tapping into the voice, our higher self that comes through, but we often disregard as like nothing. Really opening up this dialogue. Connect to your higher self. Talk to it. You can even write on paper. You can have conversations with it and see what comes through and write down what your higher self's response is so you can actually see it on paper. But really start opening this dialogue with your higher self, your intuition, and start trusting it. And when you see these fearful old belief systems entering in, and a lot of times they're in a loop, like an obsessive, just bring it in. Oh, wow, I'm really obsessing today. I really feel like nothing good will ever actually happen. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I shouldn't believe in myself. Like, obviously, I just shared with you some of my own things that come through sometimes, and I just make space for them. I bring them in and go, oh, wow, I have a lot of fearful thoughts. But I include it in this blanket of actually believing in myself, knowing my power, knowing where I'm headed, and knowing that my overall intention is always for wholeness, always for truth. So I know that no matter what happens and occurs and is coming is in my highest interest, because, you know, my biggest intention is for evolution, beautiful change, and for my own wholeness so I can be my truest self. So I hope those two cards helped in any way with you guys. I love all of you who continue to support me. A lot of you went and checked out my rap video Labia Game on my YouTube channel and left the nicest comments, the most supportive comments ever. And I really take them in, you guys. Like, it really means the world to me. Thank you for a lot of you who understand what I'm trying to do out there. I want you to know, some of you send me emails. I can't respond to many of them, especially if they're very long. I offer healings and tarot card readings. So if you really want an hour of my time and want me to go deep into an issue with you, I can do that. But unfortunately, I do have to charge because I have limited time and energy. So I really can't go into each of these things. But for those of you who send emails that are pretty brief, I'm able to get back to you. And I just, no matter if they're long or short, I appreciate you reaching out. I appreciate you listening. I'm sending you all love. And check, if, for those of you who do need support, check if your health insurance offers therapy or whatever, because most of us cannot be on this path without support, whether it's friends, a healer, a therapist. Like, it's very important for you to have someone there that you can speak to and get these, you know, complicated feelings and facets of our personality out, so you're not holding on to all of this yourself. Please also, my album 1111 is out on iTunes. Please buy it, support me. Labia Game, the audio is on there, and I would love for you guys to also review it if you can. A positive review, please. So please get my album 1111. And my next Dragon Sorcery is March 14th. It's a week away at New York Comedy Club. Promo Dragon for $10 tickets. I would love to see you there. I have some amazing comics on the show. I have Molly Austin from True TV, Ankara Savone, who does improv and stand-up, Phil Duckett, who's one of my favorite people in comics, and then another comic who I have been a fan of for years and years, Rob Ryan. So please come and check that out. It's going to be a really fun time. What they do is they come up and they share like an 8-minute issue they're going through, and then they sit with me as I read their tarot. So it's really fun. It combines comedy and healing work, which, as you know, is my favorite combination. So thank you guys for listening. Follow me Twitter, Instagram at the Kate Wolf, and I'll see you next week or talk to you. Bye.